and he had to admit it was the most obedient horse he'd ever encountered. Pity he'd never actually seen it. It'd be a pretty good horse, a horse like that. His dad had said, "Don't try to sneak a look at it." He heard the glug of the teapot, and then the gling-glong sound of a spoon being stirred, and then the clink as the spoon was laid down. "Never any sound," his dad had said, "except when he walks and talks. You'll never hear him make a sound. No smacking of lips, stuff like that. No breathing. Oh, and another thing. When you take the old shoes off, don't chuck 'em in the corner for to go to melt with the other scrap. Keep 'em separate. Melt 'em separate. Keep a pot special for it, and make the new shoes out of that metal. Whatever else you do, never put that iron on another living thing." In fact, Jason had saved one set of the old shoes for pitching contests at the various village fairs, and never lost when he used them. He won so often that it made him nervous. And now they spent most of their time hanging on a nail behind the door. Sometimes the wind rattled the window frame or made the coals crackle. A series of thumps and a squawk a little way off suggested that the chicken house at the end of the garden had parted company with the ground. The customer's owner poured himself another cup of tea. Jason finished one hoof and let it go. Then he held out his hand. The horse shifted its weight and raised the last hoof. This was a horse in a million, perhaps more. Eventually he had finished. Funny that. It never seemed to take very long. Jason had no use for a clock, but he had a suspicion that a job which took the best part of an hour was at the same time over in a matter of minutes. "There," he said, "'tis done."
"Thank you. I must say, these are very good biscuits. How do they get the bits of chocolate in?"
"Dunno, my lord," said Jason, staring fixedly at the inside of his blindfold.
"I mean, the chocolate ought to melt out when they're baked. How do they do it, do you think?"
"'Tis probably a craft secret," said Jason. "I never ask that kind of question."
"Good man. Very wise. I must..."
He had to ask, if only so's he'd always know that he had asked. "My lord?"
"Yes, Mr. Ogg?"
I has got one question."
"Yes, Mr. Ogg?"
Jason ran his tongue over his lips.
If I were to take the blindfold off, what did I see?"
There. It was done now. There was a clicking sound on the flagstones, and a change in the air movement which suggested to Jason that the speaker was now standing in front of him.
"Are you a man of faith, Mr. Ogg?"
Jason gave this some swift consideration. Lancre was not knee-deep in religions. There were the Nine-Day Wanderers, and the strict Offlians, and there were various altars to small gods of one sort or another tucked away in distant clearings. He'd never really felt the need, just like the dwarfs. Iron was iron, and fire was fire. Start getting metaphysical and you were scraping your thumb on the bottom of your hammer.
"What do you really have faith in, right at this moment?"
"He's inches away," Jason thought. "I could reach out and touch." There was a smell. It wasn't unpleasant. It was hardly anything at all. It was the smell of air in old forgotten rooms. If centuries could smell, then old ones would smell like that.
"Mr. Ogg?"
Jason swallowed.
"Well, my lord," he said, "right now, I really believe in this blindfold."
"Good man, good man. And now I must be going."
Jason heard the latch lift. There was a thud as the doors scraped back, driven by the wind, and then there was the sound of hooves on the cobbles again.
"Your work, as always, is superb."
"Oh, thank you, my lord.
I speak as one craftsman to another."
"Thank you, my lord."
"We will meet again."
"Yes, my lord."
"When next my horse needs shoeing."
"Yes, my lord."
Jason closed the door and bolted it, although there was probably no point when you thought about it. But that was the bargain. You shod anything they brought to you, anything, and the payment was that you could shoe anything. There had always been a smith in Lancre, and everyone knew the smith in Lancre was a very powerful smith indeed. It was an ancient bargain, and it had something to do with iron. The wind slackened. Now it was a whisper around the horizons as the sun rose. This was the octarine grass country, good growing country, especially for corn. And here was a field of it, waving gently between the hedges. Not a big field, not a remarkable one, really. It was